Good morning and Happy New Year. Isn't this a great place to begin a new year? Today we welcome Vicar Amanda McGlynn. She's a seminarian at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, and she is serving an internship at LRU and Bethlehem Lutheran Church here in Hickory. Pastor Leonard and his wife are at the baptism of his granddaughter today. Please take a moment to fill out your pew pads to record your attendance. Birthday celebrations this week include John Mock, Dylan Dietz, Camilla Eisenhower, and Tim Velko. Please continue to be in prayer for the family of Ralph Baker, whose funeral was here this past Wednesday, and add J. Lee Eckerd to your prayers, who was in the hospital this past week and is now at Trinity Village, and it sounds like he's not doing well. Also remember to pray for those who are at home and nursing facilities and cannot be here with us, and continue to pray for our call committee. A little something extra this month is for CCM Heating Fund, and we are collecting canned vegetables this month for CCM, and they can be left on the table in the sanctuary. On Monday, we will be hosting the Red Cross Blood Drive. Volunteers are welcome. Please keep in mind our mission statement going into the new year, which is a family that prays together, teaches, loves, and serves God and our neighbors. If you are a committee chair or liaison, your annual reports are due now. Please disregard the financial statement that's in your bulletin. It hasn't been updated. And if you have not done so, please pick up your offering envelopes in the hallway. You can also pick up your yearly statements in the hallway by the office as well. This Friday, January 10th at 9 a.m., help is needed to take down Christmas decorations. If you have any questions, you can contact Kim Frankel. Otherwise, just be here at 9. Are there any other announcements? All right, then we will continue with our service.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, love from the beginning, word made flesh, breath of heaven. Amen. Let us confess our sinfulness before God and one another, trusting in God's endless mercy and love. Merciful God, we confess that we are not perfect. We have said and done things we regret. We have tried to earn your redeeming grace while denying it to others. We have resisted your call to be the voice in the world. Give us your righteousness, the strength to put aside our failures, and the courage to try again. Amen. Dear people of God, hear the good news. Christ the Savior is born. You are loved and forgiven. And in the name of Jesus Christ, who has come among us, you are freed from proving that you deserve to be loved, because God's love is given to you as the most precious gift of all. Rejoice in this love and share it with the world. Amen.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have filled all the earth with the light of your incarnate word. By your grace, empower us to reflect your light in all that we do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Our first reading comes from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together, a great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from the first chapter of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his people did not accept him. But to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory as of a father's only son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the gospel of the Lord. There's a lot going on in this passage. And the people who would have first heard this gospel would have heard it a little bit differently than we do now. John is alluding really, really strongly here to Genesis chapter 1 with the poetic flow, with the light and darkness imagery, with parallelism to the creation stories. We hear it a little bit nowadays, but folks in John's time, Jewish people in particular, would have heard those connections as clear as day. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God created. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day. John uses this imagery and poetry and rhythm in a way that his readers would hear and would immediately connect to this familiar old tale from Genesis. It would be like if a president in our lifetime started a speech with 4 score and 7 years ago, or if we went to a new movie that we had never heard of, and the opening scene was this starry black background with scrolling yellow words that said, "A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away." John uses memory and uses recognition to help his audience make these immediate connections to Genesis, to the entire history of the people of Israel, to the beginning of all things, because Christ coming to earth was that historic. It was that impactful. This would be a new beginning of all things. This would redefine God's relationship with God's people. This would be as big and as important as those words in Genesis to which John was alluding. Now that he has their attention, John gets back to his point. This passage, the prologue of this gospel, is this beautiful, complicated, obscure, and yet incredibly clear way for John to say to his audience, "This is what I'm about to tell you. This is huge, and you need to know what's going on from the start." He lays out this sort of summary or thesis statement of his entire gospel, which is what we read today, because it's important for his audience to understand what's happening before the rest of the story is told. If John were to simply start with Jesus' baptism and then Jesus calling his disciples and so on, for someone in the first century who knew absolutely nothing about Jesus, most of the story would just be some nice news about a nice rabbi who had done some nice things. It wouldn't really make sense until they got to the crucifixion and the resurrection parts of the story. And even then, it takes a while to put all of the pieces together and to really get it. We, nowadays, hear the gospel every week, and we hear it differently because we know the story as a whole. We know who Christ is. We know what it means for Christ to become human. We know what Christ did on the cross. And as we hear or read the rest of Christ's story, these little glimpses of his life, we understand more of the dynamics of all that's going on. We shake our fists with anticipation just because the disciples can never seem to get it, especially Peter. Because we have all this insider information. We know what's coming. We know what happens. And we know how astounding it all of is. All of it is. For our lives, for their lives, for the lives of anyone ever to come. We as Christians nowadays know this. But John's audience is those who wouldn't have known any of what we know. So instead of saying, "Here's the beginning of the story of a man's life. You'll figure out why he's important later," John helps his audience get that this is the beginning of a story that is so much bigger than they can imagine. This is a story that started the beginning of everything and that doesn't have an end. This is the story of God's unimaginable love for God's creation, and this is why that matters. John skips the how of Jesus coming to earth. Matthew and Luke have that pretty well covered. John instead gives the why and the who and the what do we do now. And in doing that, John sort of is the oddball of the gospel writers. He doesn't do this nice story about the wise men and Mary and Joseph on a donkey. We never base our children's Christmas plays on John because it would be weird, and because it's not like the things that we think of when we think of Christmas. John could have started with a humble birth narrative like the other gospel writers did, but instead he takes a pretty drastically different approach. When Mark begins his gospel, Mark very quickly and bluntly states, "This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God," period. It's like the SparkNotes version of everybody else's introduction. This is what you're hearing. Keep reading to find out why that matters. It's kind of like the catchy news headline before jumping into the details of the story. That's Mark. On the other hand, Luke begins his gospel by explaining that he is setting the record straight about what really happened. And then Luke goes on with this beautifully written, detailed, prophetic narrative of Christ's birth. Then on the other hand, kind of similarly to Luke, then we have Matthew. Now Matthew starts his gospel with the genealogy from Jesus, from Abraham all the way down to David, and then all the way to Joseph and to Jesus. After Matthew sort of gets this genealogy in place, he's trying to help us understand where Christ is in the history of all Israel. And once Matthew sets up that context, then Matthew goes on to explain the rest of the details, similar to Luke, of this beautiful story of Mary and Joseph and animals and everything else. John's gospel instead kind of skips the introduction of the baby Jesus and instead helps us understand who this Jesus is and what we're really celebrating these 12 days of Christmas. So what exactly does John tell us about Matthew and Luke's baby in a manger that we celebrate every Christmas season? Well, first, John tells us that this Jesus, the one that we met in the manger, is one and the same as the eternal Word of God. In Greek, the word that John uses for word is logos, and it was understood by Greek philosophy and Hebrew tradition alike as the very logic and wisdom of the Creator God, which provides structure and order to the universe and gives meaning to all that is, all that has been, and all that will be. John gives us a sense of continuity that's intended to help us trust and to show us that Jesus, the one who has been born for us, is one and the same as the Word of God that spoke life into being and continues to be the life and the light of all people. John is showing us that this baby is so much more than just a baby. He is the source of life itself and is the light, the goodness, and the hope of all of the world. Like many of the gospel readings we hear during the Advent season, John also tells us that this Jesus, the one who we met in the manger, was preceded by another John, one called to witness and to prepare for his coming. As in the other gospels, John draws a clear line of separation between John the Baptist and Jesus the Messiah. John the Baptist was not the light himself, but was sent from God to testify to the coming light, that the people might come to believe. The inclusion of the John story in this version of the Nativity serves as a reminder for us that God's Word, through whom life and light were created, is constantly enlightening and giving life to God's people. Because we too have come to know the Word, we too carry God's light and life within our very beings. Because our lives have been affected by that light, we too are called to witness, to give testimony to what we have found at the manger. And so the inclusion of John the Baptist in John's story serves as a reminder to us that Christmas doesn't end as we take our trees to the curb and finish the last of our holiday leftovers and stocking stuffers. But rather, Christmas is just getting started. And we are called to let the light of the newborn Savior grow within us in the coming months. And as we renew our relationship with him, we allow ourselves to be sent into the world as witnesses, just like John the Baptist, to remind us of who and why we are witnessing. We proclaim this message of deep joy, mindful, of course, that Christmas has not done away with the places of death and darkness that continue to affect our world. But we proclaim it nevertheless with boldness, because we know that surrounded by evil and bordered by death, there will always be goodness. There will always be hope. There will always be God with us, and that darkness has not, will not, and cannot overcome the goodness and the light of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. that promised victory over darkness doesn't belong to us or to this or that king or to this or that president or political candidate or to this or that country or ideology or person or anyone else, but to the Word who became flesh, to God alone. And so this is a proclamation that is so valid in 2019, in 2020, and in every year and in every decade to come. The proclamation that your God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the light of all creation, the God who became flesh, who humbled himself to give us the greatest extent of love that our world has ever known, that God, your God, reigns among us. Like John the Gospel writer, like John the Baptist, like all who have gone before us in faith, we are called to the work of Christmas, not just during this 12-day feast, but all year long. As we begin another year and another decade, we are called anew to witness to a changed reality, to the hope that has been born in us. We are called to proclaim to the world that the darkness has not overcome the light, to be messengers who bring good news, who announce salvation, who say to the world of darkness, your God reigns. And the God who reigns is the one who dwells among us, even as a baby, as flesh, as one of us forever. Amen.
Thank you.
confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Gathered with all who seek the Christ child, let us pray for the church,
the world, and all who are in need.
Holy God, you make your presence known to the church in every land. Give to us a desire and will to support the diverse work of the church throughout the world. Hear us, O God. Generous Creator, in you all things came into being, and without you not one thing exists. We praise you for the snow and rain that water the earth. Move us to care for the well-being of the work of your hands. Hear us, O God. Savior of the nations, you gather in your care people of every age and ability, from lands near and far. Inspire the leaders of the nations to work for peace within their countries and in all the world. Hear us, O God. Saving God, provide for your people who begin this new year in need. Grant shelter to those who are homeless, comfort to all who are lonely, and a strong sense of your presence to those who are sick, especially J. Lee Eckerd. Hear us, O God. Word of truth, your good news of salvation is proclaimed among us. Bless all who proclaim your word in this community, especially teachers, pastors, deacons, musicians, and lectors. Hear us, O God. Gracious One, your light shines in the darkness, and it is not overcome. We thank you for the witnesses who have testified to your light. May their lives continue to inspire us. Hear us, O God.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your steadfast mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you have given us life, this community, and these gifts of the earth that become the meal of your grace. Move in our hearts that we might use your gifts to bring hope and blessing wherever we go. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God who we cannot see. And so, with all of the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promises to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered together by the Holy Spirit to receive these good gifts, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
May the body and blood of Christ our Lord strengthen us and keep us in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Emmanuel, God with us, your grace, you grace us with life and breath and give us bread for the journey. Send us out in service to this world that you love, telling the amazing news of your coming to be Savior and Lord of all. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. And may the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace, prepare the way of the Lord.